Hi, I'm Ray Hager, standing in for Sam Shedd, and welcome to an all-new edition of Nevada Newsmakers. Today's guest is Guy Clifton, noted author and historian, especially knows Nevada history. That's coming up next on Nevada Newsmakers.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shedd, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shedd.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. My guest today is a good friend of mine, Guy Clifton, noted journalist, historian, author, and more importantly, a great storyteller. Welcome to you, Guy.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Okay, now you're the public information officer for the Nevada State Museum, Arts Council, and Indian Commission. And with that, I understand that you have some big plans for early next year when we have the 150th anniversary of the Transcontinental Railroad, which of course went through Nevada.
That's right, and the Nevada State Railroad Museum in Carson City is one of our seven state museums. It's a treasure, but we have the only piece of rolling stock that's still in existence that was at Promontory Point that day in 1879 when the Transcontinental Railroad was completed. It's called Coach 17 because it had originally been built by the railroad to carry Leland Stanford to Promontory Point for the Golden Spike Ceremony.
In Utah,
Promontory Summit, Utah. It was there that day. It was later sold to the V&T Railroad, and they used it as a coach, and that's when it changed its name to Coach 17, is what we refer to it as. It's the only piece of rolling stock still left that was at Promontory that day. It's kind of an ugly duckling if you don't understand its history. It's it went to Hollywood and it sat outside of the movie studios for years and years and got attacked by woodpeckers. It has woodpecker holes in it and all kinds of things. Our restoration crew at the Railroad Museum, they had to make a decision, do you want to restore this to what it was in 1879, mm-hmm. Or do you want to be able, if you were going to do that, you would basically have to tear it all the way down to the frame and rebuild it.
Oh.
So you would lose all that history of what the stories it tells through those generations. So they decided to stabilize it, to have it as a living piece of history to be able to view. This is the way this car was put together back then. So it's going to be the centerpiece of a big exhibit that we're going to have at the State Railroad Museum that celebrates the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad. Two of our locomotives that have been restored through the years, the Inyo and the Dayton, they have both been at Promontory Point to act as replicas to the locomotives that were there that day, the Jupiter, and I believe it's the 117 that for the Union Pacific and Central Pacific that came together and you know, and for the Golden Spike to complete the railroad. So we have those that are going to be part of the exhibit, and it's going to be really just a not only an educational exhibit, you know, for people of all ages to be able to come and enjoy, but really it's a chance to see this piece of history that has it's a survivor. You know, that's all you can say about it, this piece of history that was there that day.
Well, it must be a lot of work for you and your department. You mentioned two engines, the Inyo and the Dayton. Are those part of the Virginia Truckee Railroad, or
they were part of the V&T Railroad, and you know, they like a lot of, you know, thank God for Hollywood. Hollywood always gets a bad rap, and probably on this show and politics and everything like that. But by the V&T, when they sold off all their stock, when they were going out of business, mm-hmm. they sold off a lot of their stuff to Hollywood, and it was used in the Western films and stuff. That's how that stuff has been preserved, you know, and that eventually came back where the state was able to purchase it, you know, 30 some years ago, and to come back into our collection. If it hadn't been shipped to Hollywood, it wouldn't exist anymore. It would have been scrapped long ago. So, you know, we've been able to restore the Inyo to its 1875 splendor, and you know, it's a great locomotive. It's still, we have that, and we have one called the Glenbrook, which is a narrow gauge. The Inyo is a standard gauge, and the Inyo is a narrow gauge rail locomotive, mm-hmm. and they're both operational, both fully restored, both wow. operational. We're the only museum in the country that has that, the two operational 1875 steam engines, you know, that are still operating to this day. The Dayton was up in Virginia City. We loaned it to them for a long time. We just brought it down last winter, and to be part of this exhibit that we have going up.
Okay, real quick, I want to talk about another anniversary before the break. In 2019 is also the 100th year anniversary for the Reno Rodeo, and of course, you've written 8 books, and one of them was the history of the Reno Rodeo. What do you think about this anniversary, Guy?
Well, that's a great thing for the Reno Rodeo Association. I know they've been working for several years, planning ahead to their 100th anniversary, which is coming up in June. We're going to have a display at the Nevada Historical Society. Is one of our 7 state museums, and I've been asked to curate
at the University of Nevada, right?
It's on the campus at the university. We've been asked to curate an exhibit for the 100th anniversary, so I get to be a big part of that with my knowledge of the rodeo and some of the connections that I have. We're going to put that together, and it's going to go up in the spring of 2019 as well, and be up for a few months through the rodeo and into the through the end of the summer.
Okay, Guy, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about Battleborne Hall and the USS Nevada battleship. We'll be right back with more with Guy Clifton after these few messages.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest, of course, is Guy Clifton. He's a public information officer for the Nevada State Museum, but he's also a noted journalist, historian, author, and storyteller. Guy, when we talk about Nevada history, military history looms very large. We have a proud history with our veterans. And I think in that, when you talk about Nevada's military history, nothing really seems to loom larger than the USS Nevada. Of course, it was a battleship in World War II. It survived the bombing of Pearl Harbor. It later shelled the Germans on D-Day in Normandy. The ship's wheel used to be in the governor's office, but now it's been moved upstairs at the state capitol to something called the Battleborne Hall, which is a new thing. Could you tell us a little bit about this Battleborne Hall?
Well, Battleborne Hall, it's not really a new thing. It was actually started back in the 70s. It's really an arm of the Nevada State Museum, and what it is, it's the old Senate chambers up on the second floor of the Capitol. And it is a lot of artifacts that tell the state's history, and it had been up there for quite a while, and it really needed to be refreshed. And one thing about Governor Brian Sandoval is that he is a great history buff.
He's a student of history.
He is a student of history. And, you know, one of the first things after he was elected to office 8 years ago, he was on a tour of our Indian Hills facility, which is kind of a storage facility and curation facility of the museum that has a lot of artifacts that aren't on display in the museum at any particular time. And he was walking around looking for some things to maybe put in his office. And one of the things that was in there, covered by a blanket, was one of the ship's wheels from the USS Nevada, the battleship USS Nevada. And he said, above anything, he wanted that to be in his office to display, and it was behind his desk. And if you look at any pictures of him signing bills or anything like that, he had that in there for a long time. So the Nevada, when it celebrated its sesquicentennial a few years ago, they started a foundation that helped fund the sesquicentennial, and they had some money left over, about $700,000 left over to close out the foundation. And they decided to put that money into a renovation of Battleborne Hall, which, you know, I don't know how lately you've been up to the second floor of the Capitol, but that has been restored to really magnificence. The old assembly chambers, the old Supreme Court chambers, the governor used to call that the room of misfit chairs, because it was just a bunch of old broken chairs that got thrown in there.
Oh, I thought he was talking about the state assembly.
But he had both those things restored. They're really spectacular. And part of his vision was to have Battleborne Hall and all the exhibits in there restored, which he did. And we worked with a design company out of Seattle, our state museums did, and just put together a spectacular new exhibit in Battleborne Hall that really tells the history of the state from prehistoric times all the way through the industrial revolutions and the growing of, you know, the coming of gambling. It talks about the Johnson-Jeffries fights. It talks about significant events. It talks about all kinds of things that happened in Nevada's history, mining, gaming, everything along those lines. And it's all together in one space and just a great story told in these little, six exhibit areas in there. And the best part of that is it's anybody can go to it as long as the Capitol is open. You can go upstairs and look at it for free. There's some interactive stuff for kids to do as well, some puzzles and whatnot to kind of figure out. And it's really beautiful, really spectacular, and was part of one of the things that the governor wanted to have done before he left office.
You know, when you talk about World War II, Nevada has so many veterans of World War II, but, you know, now most of them, almost all of them, are passed away. And, of course, I remember when you worked at the Reno Gazette-Journal along with me, we really enjoyed going out and meeting these men and women and to hear their stories and to tell their stories. Do you have a Are you working on an oral history with World War II vets? What is that about?
Well, just on a personal note, I have a friend that I made back a long time ago. I did a story on him when I was still at the newspaper, and remarkable guy that was a World War II veteran. He lost part of his arm to a German landmine at the Battle of the Bulge. Came back and played football at the University of Nevada.
Wait, he lost a limb?
He lost a hand.
Oh,
his hand and his wrist. Came back, played football for a year at the University of Nevada. He made Cal's all opponents team that year. But he's just really a spectacular guy. His name is Bob Rivera. I think a lot of old-time Reno guys might know Bob. Mm-hmm. And so I've just been spending time with him and some of his family members and hearing some of his stories. He has lived a remarkable life and continues to. He's still on his own. He's 93 or 4 years old and still lives on his own, still drives a nice little convertible BMW, and a great guy and a great storyteller. So I've been spending some time with him and just recording some of his stories that he wants to share with his grandkids and stuff like that.
Okay.
It's not going to be for public release, but it's going to be for his family.
So. Well, let's take a break now. When we come back, I want to talk about the Johnson-Jeffries fight, 1910, the fight of the century. You and I collaborated on a book about it, so
that'll
be interesting. We'll be right back after these few messages, more with historian and author Guy Clifton.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Of course, our guest is Guy Clifton, well-known historian, author, storyteller, and journalist. Guy, let's go back to 2010. You and I were both working at the Reno Gazette Journal, and we went in together and did a book on the fight of the century. The greatest day in Reno's history is when Jack Johnson fought Jim Jeffries for the World Heavyweight Boxing Championship. Jeffries was the great white hope, and Jack Johnson was the first black man to hold the heavyweight title, which back in those days, it meant so much more. People have asked me, really, was that the best day in Reno's history? And I said, yes, it was. Do you back me up on that? That was the biggest day in the history of Reno.
I think it was certainly the most significant sporting event, if not the most significant event that has ever happened in Reno's history, because literally the eyes of the world were on Reno for those 2 weeks leading up to the fight and the fight itself. And there were New York sent 8 newspapers out here to cover it. They were sending back telegrams, you know, 200,000 words a day or more. On the day of the fight, 800,000 words went out over the telegraph lines at 2 cents a word. That's $16,000, you know, just for that, just for sending telegrams on that day. So, you know, everybody in the world wanted to know, including Teddy Roosevelt, who was on safari in Africa,
yes,
was interested in what was going to happen in Reno that day.
Well, the defending champion Jack Johnson just pummeled the Great White Hope that day. The only reason why the fight lasted as long as it did, wasn't it 17 rounds?
15 rounds.
15.
Yeah.
Okay, was because Jack Johnson had the copy or the rights to the movies of the fight, which was very big at the time, and he wanted to keep the fight going so he could have a better movie.
Right.
But you know what, one of the things that really struck me at the time is the overt racism of the white press. I was shocked the way that it treated Jack Johnson.
Absolutely, and from everything, from the stories that were running, and spearheaded by, you know, probably one of the most famous writers of all time, Jack London, was kind of the one who insisted that Jeffries needed to come out of retirement to fight Jack Johnson and return the what he called the heavyweight champion to the white race. He started that right after Jack Johnson won the title in Australia, and kind of beating the drum to have Jeffries come out of retirement to challenge him, but it just continued. If you look at some of the editorial cartoons of those days, the way they depicted Jack Johnson was really horrific, you know, like as a monkey, and a lot of the stories just referred to him as the Kenyan or the African
Ethiopian.
So it was sad. It was a sign of the times, you know. It seemed like it was accepted in the newspapers as the way it was, and it's hard, you know, when you look through a 21st century filter at that time, you wonder how something like that could happen. But you know, that it was 100, when we were working on the book, it was 100 years before that.
Yes.
So it was a different time.
Well, after Jack Johnson won that fight, his life took a, you know, decidedly downhill turn, because for one reason, federal authorities were after him. They wanted to arrest him and throw him in jail for the Mann Act, because he had a white girlfriend, and they crossed state lines, and a prosecutor said that was a violation of the Mann Act, that he was actually crossing a state line to use her in prostitution. Of course, he had to go on the lam to Europe and everything, and just this year, earlier this year, President Trump pardoned Jack Johnson. It was something that many people were surprised that President Obama did not pardon him, or President Bush before him. What do you think about, why did it take so long for Jack Johnson to get the pardon that he really deserved when you look back at history and see how he was really railroaded?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question if you look back at the way that he was railroaded and hounded and, you know, sent to the federal penitentiary for a year for that. You know, why it took so long, it's anybody's guess. Jack Johnson did not live a sterling life. You know, he had some problems in his background as well. But you know, this was something that Harry Reid and John McCain had been working on for years and years. With I think they started with President George W. Bush and passing resolutions to get this pardon for Jack Johnson. So Bush could have done it, Obama could have done it, and they didn't, for whatever reason. These resolutions were passed, and it took Sylvester Stallone appealing to Donald Trump to right this wrong, and the president did it, to his credit. You know, it's something that should have been done earlier, and I don't know, I guess they were just in fear of what blowback would come with it.
We took a lot of their stories for that book from the pages of the old Nevada State Journal, Reno Evening Gazette. What, to end this, what's one story from those reports of that time that sticks with you?
Well, I really like this nugget that you dug up about after the fight was over. There was some guy from Chico that was so distraught that he tried to kill himself by drowning himself in the Sacramento River, and the authorities fished him out of there and threw him into jail, and he was still so distraught that he threw himself off the top bunk of the bunk beds in jail and broke his back, and he ended up dying that way. So, you know, there was, talk about see people, I mean, I guess there are sports fanatics in this world, but to see somebody to go to that extent because the person he wanted to win didn't win was quite remarkable.
So. Well, a great book. We had fun writing it. That's all the time we have with Guy Clifton. We'll be back after these few messages to wrap up this edition of Nevada Newsmakers.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Thanks for watching. Remember, you can see all the Nevada Newsmakers broadcasts on NevadaNewsmakers.com, and you can also download the podcast. Thanks for watching.